Our next presentation is from Juliana Arnett. Juliana works for the San Diego County Childhood Obesity Initiative, which is facilitated by the Community Health Improvement Partners. And through her work, she works on obesity prevention through policy change, and with a specialty focus on food access and food systems. So I want to welcome Juliana to do our next presentation.
I feel like the first two presentations definitely set me up well. While they were focused on the evidence-based of why we are doing the work that we're doing, mine focuses a little bit more on how grassroots community organizations and the government can work together to really promote food access strategies in their community. So to give a little background on why we were interested in community gardens in the first place, we really see them as a triple bottom line solution. That phrase is being used more and more, and it simply just means that it has economic benefits, social benefits, and environmental benefits. While we do work on obesity prevention, we are trying to really build a comprehensive definition of health in our community and really get people thinking about how things work together to promote overall health. So we say confusing things to some people, like health begins with healthy soil. When we're talking about childhood obesity, that sometimes gets people to think a little bit, what are you talking about? But we really do believe that if we're going to have a healthy community, that means that we have to have healthy soil. So that means that we have to restore it, mitigate any problems, make sure that it's nutritionally dense, and that is basically the foundation for a healthy food system. With community gardens, again, these are something that we know benefit our economy, our environment, and physical health. There's data out there that while data is currently limited, there is an emerging body of evidence that really talks about how community gardens are one of the few interventions that really have been proven to increase dietary preferences and fruit and vegetable consumption, both among community gardeners and their families. We also know this is a strategy to really help people stretch their dollars. Gardeners can save anywhere from $500 to $2,000 per year. We know that also it creates micro-enterprising opportunities for those that wish to do so as well. Community gardens, if you're gardening in the soil too, offer other benefits like improving soil quality. They've been linked to reductions in trash dumping in communities and can sequester carbon. There's been a lot of great research that's come out of Philadelphia talking about really reinvigorating brownfields and creating that space, creating gardens out of that space, and it's been linked to reductions in crime and mental illness, and as well as promoting civic engagement. And the thing that we really love to share is the time that the U.S. really had the highest fruit and vegetable consumption is when 44% of us were growing our own food in our backyards. So in the community that I come from, where I'm from San Diego County, I wanted to give a little bit of background information to understand the context of where we were really promoting community garden policy and why it was so necessary. In San Diego County, while most people think of palm trees and beaches, we also have a very strong agrarian background. We have desert lands and mountains as well, but we also have the largest number of small farms and organic farms in the country. And during World War II, our community really started to get into farming and beginning to produce more and more cropland. However, we have very high rates of water, and therefore we have to have very crops that can produce that are very profitable. So that really sparked our interest in organic crops. At the same time, there's very few mentions of community gardens in most of our cities. General plans and ordinances, there's 18 different cities in San Diego County, San Diego being one of them. Although we have an agrarian background and understand the importance of agriculture, there's not a lot of urban agriculture or community gardening happening. We did an assessment, and at one time we identified 26 community gardens in the entire county of San Diego. So they're very unfamiliar to most people. They may not understand their benefits. They may actually be a little bit frightened of the potential of them in their community and who it may be bringing in to their community. While we have a strong agrarian background, few community gardens, we also have very high rates of obesity. Nearly 1 in 3 children are overweight or obese, 60% of our adult population, but yet we do have this really emerging food movement in our community where people are better understanding the value of a local food system. Additionally, we have an organization within our community, Community Health Improvement Partners, whom I work for, that really is a collective impact organization. And really that means that simply our organization is really focused on addressing complex issues, complex public health issues and chronic disease in which there is no clear-cut solution, and really requires multi-sectoral solutions and bringing people together to work together for a common good and purpose. Community Health Improvement Partners has been around for about 20 years now. It was originated when our hospitals really came together to start working on a triennial community needs assessment and then starting to work on our priority health issues, which included obesity. The Obesity Initiative is a public-private partnership that's facilitated by CHIP, and this work really got started when our County Board of Supervisors identified obesity as a major issue and realized that this was not just a county government issue that they could solve alone, but it really required all the sectors of our community coming together to address obesity through policy and environmental changes. So Community Health Improvement Partners and the Obesity Initiative have really set the foundation for different movements and activities on obesity prevention strategies for moving forward. People very much understand in our community that different interventions are needed to all work together to really prevent obesity. Where this ties back to community gardens is that community gardens are something that we've been interested in talking about probably for the last 5 years in San Diego County in numerous cities. However, we've gone about them different ways. As I mentioned, there's not a lot of them. There's little understanding about them at the time that we got started. But some cities were very supportive, and other cities had some very genuine concerns before promoting community garden policy. But the different approaches have taught us a lot over the years. In the city of Chula Vista, which is essentially a suburb of San Diego, the elected officials and several advocacy organizations that were working on obesity prevention got excited about this idea, particularly because it was a low-income community, about just the opportunity for people to grow and produce their own food and hopefully save money as well. So they came together in probably over a year-long process. They worked together to write up some policy. However, in the community, most of the residents were talking more about their need for garden education and support. Even the community organizations that might be interested in having a plot basically said they needed help gardening because it was just something that they weren't essentially familiar with and didn't really have the resources to do at that time. The city, however, wanting to make sure that there were no barriers to anyone who wanted to get a community garden started, decided to go ahead and pass the city regulations that they had been working on, and were really the first city within San Diego County to pass a community garden ordinance. But because it was something that the community residents didn't really have a familiarity with at that time, unfortunately, there were no community gardens that were established after the policy was written, and it's continued to be an issue. We've done a few things, which I'll talk about in a little bit, to really help better educate the community, but we really learned that policy is great and reducing barriers, but it also you need to be able to meet the community residents where they are at the same time to make it effective. In the city of San Diego, prior to really getting into in-depth to our intervention and deciding that we were really going to go after less restrictive policy, there was some work that happened. In early 2000s, the city of San Diego overhauled its land development code. And during that process, they also put in community garden language on how you would permit a community garden. When they wrote it, they designed it so that it would be a limited use permit, and simply that means that you wouldn't have to go to any office to submit an application for the garden. You could just create one in any of the land use zones that were deemed appropriate. However, we have a very interesting structure to our government that's a little bit different than most communities. We have several community planning groups or committees, and basically these were designated by the city to ensure the community voice in the planning process. And while they were working on the land use regulations for the city, some people voiced concerns about the community garden policy and really felt it needed to be a neighborhood use permit. And what that means is that they would have to come to these individual planning committees prior to getting the community garden approved, which required a $5,000 deposit fee and the recovery of any city time and expenses that were used to review and approve the application process. While they weren't intending for that to be the final land use regulations, it just so happened that on the timeline that they were passing all the land development code, they needed to move it forward, and that was what we essentially got stuck with. So there wasn't much work between 2000 and 2007. There wasn't much demand for community gardens, so the city really didn't know it was a problem. But in 2007, a group called the International Rescue Committee really wanted to provide land for their clientele, which was mostly immigrant populations from all over the world who had deep agrarian roots and wanted to be able to grow their own produce. And they also had very limited means and resources in our community. So what more perfect solution than a community garden? However, when they got the process started, they began to realize that the neighborhood use permit really laid out the same process as you would use for a condo. There were requirements for streetlights, sidewalks, numerous assessments and evaluations. And this seemed ridiculous when all we wanted to do was plow this empty land. So really what happened was they decided that they were going to go through the permit process the right way, even though they were directed numerous times to just kind of, you know, skirt around it. And so what they uncovered was all the different barriers, which included numerous permits and assessments, and it took their staff 18 months to get through the process. It also took them $46,000. So that process alone really sparked interest in community garden policy reform in our community, not just in San Diego, but in many communities in our county as well. So we started really working together, numerous organizations, whether it was us, the Childhood Obesity Initiative, or grassroots coalitions interested in food access issues, or community residents who just wanted to have a garden, really came together to start talking about how could we make change in our community. But it really wasn't until we received funding through Communities Putting Prevention to Work that we were able to do real work around community garden reform. San Diego County received the largest obesity prevention grant in the country, and it was to support policy and systems changes. And the interventions that were funded through this program, while we had 14, three of them had a focus that included community gardens. There was the People's Produce Project that simply wanted to put a community garden in one of our low-income neighborhoods in San Diego. There were Healthy Community mini-grants where we worked with our Regional Transportation and Planning Board to grant out mini-grants to cities that wanted to do interventions to support nutrition and physical activity, including community gardens. And then there was our intervention, which was the School and Community Gardens intervention. And this really focused on several initiatives. We built our intervention based on the history of what had happened in San Diego, so we had three primary focus areas. We worked on school garden policy, which was rather restrictive at that time. We worked on city garden policy, and then we also developed something called regional garden education centers. And these were training centers all around San Diego County that provided community residents information on, one, how to grow in your community, and then also how to start and maintain both a school and community garden. And those classes really focused more on the organization and operational end of gardening, and why that was so important was in communities where community gardens may not be familiar, or school gardens where they're worried about the continuous maintenance of those gardens, we needed to ensure them that there was some kind of training to really help make sure people knew how to operate these entities in a professional way. Basically, they were going to be good stewards. So these are the steps to success, or what we did with the city of San Diego. And again, this was very much a grassroots, nonprofits, and treetops effort. We learned that if it was just city elected officials and staff working together to do community garden policy, it may not be the most productive if there aren't community residents that are supportive, or if the community residents are advocating for it, but our elected officials aren't comfortable with it, it's not going to move forward. So we really needed all players at the table. So again, it's really uniting around a common interest. We really put a call out to anyone who might be interested in community gardens to see if we could work collaboratively on solving this issue. At that time, the city council itself was getting a little frustrated by the process. For 2 years before we really started making change, we had been coming to them on a pretty regular basis asking for a streamlined garden process. All we got was the $5,000 permit fee and a bulletin that really simplified the steps that you had to take, but really didn't address that issue of cost. So we were starting to get the support of council members on really making change. There was an organization called the 1 in 10, which was a grassroots coalition of individuals that were just interested in making change in our local food system in San Diego. So we engaged them. There were the different interventions from CPPW that got involved. There was the International Rescue Committee, who definitely had a stake in moving this forward as they wanted to create more gardens for their residents and clients. And then we worked closely with our County of San Diego Health and Human Services Agency that was administering CPPW and our city council members. The thing that was really important to making progress is we had pretty much been going at this disparately, where one organization might be doing advocacy at one time or educating someone at another time, but we weren't necessarily working together in a coordinated, thought-out way. So one of the first things that we did once we received funding for communities putting prevention is really indicate who was going to be the organization that was really going to be the coordinating body for all of our efforts to make sure that we were in close and continuous communication with each other. And that was the 1 in 10 coalition. We felt that they were best positioned to take that on because there were limitations with our funding and lobbying and advocating, and so it really needed to be an entity that had freedom to do the work that they needed to do and would allow other organizations to operate within the limitations that they were comfortable with. The next thing that we did was really assess our community and political environment. If we were going to make changes, we knew that we had to understand what the concerns were and really address them in a genuine way. So we worked with our city elected officials, city staff, and our community planning groups all throughout the city, which is 42 of them, to understand their concerns. And when I say concerns, they had many of them. Many of them were very legit, and like, who's going to maintain it? What if the water breaks? Who's going to take care of it? We also heard concerns of everything from, what if someone breaks into a barn and gets fertilizer out and makes a bomb with it? We had to address all. We also had to research the pros and cons. When you're promoting any intervention, particularly one that the community may or may not be familiar with, you really need to know these are the benefits, and yes, these are the setbacks that we may have to address along the way, and here's how we are going to recommend that we do that. And we also researched efforts in similar environments. San Diego is a very diverse community, politically, geographically, and demographically. So we really had to make sure that we were addressing all the needs in our community and, in some ways, addressing it from the angle that they needed to understand it at. And our elected officials really wanted to know what were the other 10 largest cities within the United States doing, because we fall in that category. And the one thing that we were really able to say and made a real impression was all of them have community garden policies in place that are pro-resident, and the only other one that doesn't is Phoenix, and they're working on theirs. So the city of San Diego was like, we want to catch up. We don't want to be behind on this issue. So when making change, another important thing to do is not only know your community and the political environment and be able to address their concerns, but also identify what resources are available to you, your team, and to those that will have to make the change. We had a lot of momentum. One of the interventions that I mentioned had to get a community garden as part of their grant started in a low-income community of San Diego. They had deadlines that they had to meet. And they also had grant funding from a city council member, $50,000, to make that garden happen. However, the land that they wanted to put the garden on was zoned commercially. And in San Diego, you weren't allowed to put community gardens on commercial zoned land. So they partnered with an expert on policy, one of our redevelopment departments, which we had at that time. And they basically said, well, let's think about this strategically. So what they did was they decided to put forth to the city council a lease, because it was city-owned land, that said that they could use the land for a community garden with the exception that there were changes to the city regulation. So People's Produce Project, which was overseeing the project, came back to the 1 in 10 coalition and asked the members, what do you think about this? Is this a good idea? And so there was a resounding yes. So we really used the timeline of the grant to help move things forward. We also had multiple subject experts that were available to us. We had local experts on gardening. We had our regional garden education centers that really could help inform the process as we went along. There were also these mini grants that were available to cities to move forward different policy and system changes that would support obesity prevention. So we recommended to the city of San Diego that if they were interested, this would be a way to help cover staff time because, as in most cities right now, there's very limited resources to make these type of changes. And then for the first time, we really had staff time through all of the CPPW interventions that we could really put towards moving this along. And while we did have limitations and restrictions on the different type of advocacy and work that we could do, the things that we were able to provide were technical assistance and research and really identifying what were best practices out there and educating the community on how best to form their message. So the next thing that we did was really plan and assign roles based on the different abilities and limitations at the table. I keep mentioning, and anyone who's been involved in the CPPW or a federal grant realizes there are lots of restrictions related to advocacy and lobbying. So we wanted to be very careful and make sure that we didn't step over our boundaries. So our organization, as I mentioned, provided research. The grassroots advocacy organizations were really those that could organize community members on the ground level and could advocate for change with our elected officials. We also could provide technical assistance to any of the staff that were actually writing land use code. The next thing that I think is really important in any time that you're trying to make policy change and reform is be ready. Come to the table with research. Be willing to help those that are making the actual changes in the government. testify. Make sure that you're present at any events where they're talking about your issue. Make sure that you're present when there's convenient opportunities to do so as well, to keep momentum moving forward on the project. Seek invitations. We got invited as technical assistance providers to a number of city meetings. We went to code monitoring team meetings where they were talking about the very logistical, wonky talk of community garden policy, and they would simply ask for our opinions on different issues involving community gardens. So where we just wanted community gardens to be more accessible in residential and commercial zones, they also asked us about things like gating, and lighting, and water, and we were able to really point to the different experts in the community to make changes in a way that would be more convenient for our community gardeners. And then promote continuous communication among partners. Because we all had very different roles, and we were seeing different things while we were promoting policy change, you really need to step back on a regular basis, assess, adjust your strategy, and make sure that you're working strategically to make change throughout the process. This is kind of a brief visual overview of how we work together. The red is the government, the green is the grassroots, and the blue is the nonprofit organizations that participated in really promoting movement. And the only reason I'm showing this is just to see how we always work together throughout the entire process based on our abilities and our limitations to make the process move forward. And one organization can't do it all. You really have to work together based on the strengths of those at the table to move policy forward. And while this process started back in 2007 and we didn't really get too far at 2009 from the time that CPPW really started in our community, we were able to make swift and drastic changes to the policy, allowing the City Council unanimously voted for community gardens to be allowed in all residential and commercial zoning. They also no longer require there to be fencing or lighting made available, and no longer require that they put in water either. And why that was is just to give people an option, because also often when installing water into a community garden in San Diego, it's about a $17,000 expense. So people could think of creative ways of how to get water to their garden. So just real quickly to go over a couple of the challenges. Before we really had CPPW, we didn't have coordinating resources. And all the world of difference it made when we actually could apply staff time to helping coordinate all the activities together. Timelines and deliverables were always an issue. They worked in our favor in many instances, but at some points, they also created significant challenges. As anyone knows who's worked on community change, it doesn't always work on the timeline of your grant. And then advocacy versus lobbying. We really had to be careful that we didn't step over those guidelines, and that those organizations that were held to the standard of being able to educate really stayed within those boundaries. And then just new territory, promoting an issue that our community at that time wasn't very familiar with. It always creates more challenges and concerns, but as long as you address those genuinely through the process, you'll make significant change. So the lessons learned quickly, have a common agenda, have a backbone support organization, make sure that your activities are mutually reinforcing. Really focus on what it is that you're good at and how you can participate in the overall change. Have a common language and understanding. A lot of the nonprofit organizations really work to simplify the policy process and educate the community on what all these zoning changes meant and what was the timeline for policy change. And by doing that, the community members could go out and educate their neighbors on really what was happening and how they could get involved, and really brought a lot more people into the process. Having access to both professional and local experts, we were able to point our city staff members to professionals working on this issue throughout the country. We also could bring them expertise from local members who were avid gardeners or who were involved in gardening efforts across the county. Really playing on personal experience, when we started getting to know our council members and understanding their backgrounds, and many of them had been involved with gardens or had a grandparent that gardened in the past, this issue became something that was very personal to them and that they really wanted to see move forward. And then I can't stress enough consistent participation. At a lot of these city council meetings or our community planning group meetings, we would have something like 130, 150 people show up. These are meetings where maybe they were used to having 11 people in the audience. So they knew who we were. They knew that we brought a lot of excitement around the issue. And honestly, a lot of our council members told us that no matter what they're doing, whether they're signing allowing for, you know, $1 million industry to come into the community, people may or may not get very excited about that. But when they talk about gardens, people's eyes light up and they want to talk about everything that is that they're growing in their garden. So the last thing that I'll say is just this process has made a significant impact in our community. We see community gardens sprouting up all around. When I was, a weekend after we passed the community garden policy reform in San Diego, I drove by one of many community gardens that had just got started. Once people learned that they could do it, there was no permitting required, they were starting to put their trowels in the ground and get community gardens. So where we started with 26 in our county, there's at least 10 community gardens that we've been able to identify that have been initiated since the policy reform, and I'm sure there's many more than that. Our city officials and the staff that worked on this policy were absolutely amazing, and I will say that they better understand their role in improving health through this policy and have made changes to their general plan as well as the land use regulations. And we're continuing to look for opportunities to work together because we've formed mutual respect and better understand how we can work together to support each other's work as well. So this is the very last thing that I will say, is that the community garden, when we passed the reforms, the grants that cities could go over could submit to do policy and environmental changes related to public health, they missed the timeline for our community garden reforms. So they were able to cover that, their city staff time, in a different way. However, what their city staff decided to do is, you know, so many people are interested in community gardens. Why don't we just look into some of the other issues that they're interested in as well? So in less than a year's process, they did complete urban agriculture policy reform in the city of San Diego. So we now have, we're permitted to have miniature goats, chickens and bees in the city, and we've also initiated processes for a number of innovative food access and urban farms within our community as well.